This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski, he spikes with emphasis.
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart is your source for the latest news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500, or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him, and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome into the Xbox One Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Patriots fall in Green Bay tonight. They lose this game on the road, a tight game right up until the fourth quarter. I think we expected it to be a game that was decided in the fourth quarter, and that's ultimately how it went. Packers with the win tonight, 26-21 is your final score in this game. If you've got thoughts on it, I'm sure we are going to be hearing from you early and often on the program. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number, 855-PATS-500. The email address, as always, webradio@patriots.com. So send along your emails to webradio@patriots.com. I'm sure you have some frustrations from this game that the Patriots lose and move to 9-3 on the year. The Packers, with their win, improve to a perfect 6-0 at home and 9-3 as well on the season. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart with you for the next couple of hours as we break this game down. We'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and potentially some more as well. But guys, your opening thoughts on this game. I go back to what we talked about before the game, which was just don't get blown out, be competitive, play a halfway decent game, be in this one to the end. And they were. And they were. But
they were.
They were. They tiptoed the line of not being in there.
It was very close to not being competitive.
It didn't feel great at the end. That's what I would say. The way it unfolded. And obviously a decision by Bill Belichick to try a Steven Gostkowski 47-yard field goal on a 4th-and-18 play will probably be one of the bigger discussions about this game. Should the Patriots have gone for it on their last possession and tried to get the first down? As we were talking about it, as it happened live, I think what we were all saying after that play was, we know this, had the distance been shorter for a first down, the Patriots are probably going for it there.
Yes.
But the 18 yards is what probably changed their opinion and said, let's try and kick it, get the ball back, and potentially get another field goal to win it.
Well, I mean, just to see them go for 4th-and-3, I think it was, from their own side of the field, answers that question for you. If it was a manageable 4th down, I don't think there was any doubt that they would have gone for it. If he didn't have any faith in the defense stopping them with 5.5 minutes left, he certainly didn't have any faith that the defense was going to get him the ball back. If it was 4th-and-5 instead of 4th-and-18, I think it's easy to use hindsight. I was surprised they kicked the field goal. Andy, you were really surprised.
Yeah, I would have gone for it. They didn't make them punt until the third quarter. The only place you would stop them all day was the red zone, and if you stop them in the red zone, it's irrelevant. So
we're enough time to get to the red zone.
And it obviously looks even worse when Steven Gostkowski misses what I consider his first true miss of the season, because the other one came on a bad snap earlier in the year from Danny Aiken. I'm just fascinated that this game sort of played out to the resumes. You know, both quarterbacks finished with no interceptions, passer rating over 100. Both teams ran the ball relatively well, probably not quite as much as we may have expected either team to do it, but both 4.5 yards a carry that they were over. And I thought both defenses struggled at times, stopping the run, big chunks to Eddie Lacy. The biggest surprise to me is probably that last play of the first half where you watch Jordy Nelson run a slant and just run away from Darrell Revis. And you know, get to the end zone, and McCourty couldn't make the tackle and stop that there. Patriots had gotten back into the game at, 16-14 at that point, and then all of a sudden it's 23-14 going to halftime. Because you look at it, 16-14, if you hold there, well, Now you get the ball in the second half.
Yeah, it's probably going to be 19-14. They're probably going to kick a field goal,
right?
But you can't allow a touchdown. And that, you know, you bring up the point. Defensively, they were hanging by a thread all day. More big plays allowed today than they had all season. Davante Adams was a huge thorn in the side of the Patriots secondary.
Except for the drop he had.
No one had an answer for him. Logan Ryan started. It was Arrington. It was, by the end of the day, Dennard, 6 for 121, and that doesn't count, as Beadle just mentioned, what would have been a 15-yard touchdown to end the game down the stretch. No one had an answer for him. Too many long plays today for the Green Bay offense. They're tough enough when they're picking their way down the field to stop.
Top five targets for Aaron Rodgers all had catches over 28 yards, a couple 45-yard longs, four guys over 30 yards. Those are big plays, and that was one of the calling cards of this Patriots defense for most of the season, is not allowing 40-yard plays, not allowing big plays. You got a couple of them, including a touchdown, which I think came at a costly time there late in the first half. But again, you give the Packers credit. They played to their resume at home. They got to an early lead. Could have been a much bigger early lead if they didn't kick a couple field goals, but shut out the opposition in the first quarter at home to build a nice little start to a ball game.
We will get to the good, the bad, and the injured just a moment from now, but I will say this. As good as the Patriots' red zone defense was, so to speak, because they did get stops in the red zone, here's how it went. I mean, basically, Green Bay was scoring on all their drives. Field goal, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, the missed field goal, which Jim Nantz counted as a stop. I don't know that I would count that as a stop when a guy misses a field goal. Then there was that one and only punt in the game, which happened in the third quarter. Last possession, second to last, I should say, another field goal, and then the end of the game.
And a stop.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
And it's funny
they put up points on almost all of their
drives. Game was
they, at the very least, outside of that one drive that they punted on, they were in position to score points.
Had the Patriots scored more like we expect and like they're used to, the game had set up for, you had trouble with Green Bay. They're a good offense, but you had red zone defense, bend but don't break, and you win a ball game, 35-26 or something in that range.
Yeah, we had the 20-somethings. I mean, I thought 34-27, that's what Green Bay ended up. That's not where the Patriots ended up.
Let's get to the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I was fallen. And I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show.
Okay, let's search for some of the positives in this one. What do you want to start with?
I'll start with one, Brandon LaFell, as the drive starter, a couple touchdowns.
Two touchdowns.
A week after Tim Wright was the guy with a couple touchdowns, this week it's LaFell with more competitive touchdowns, I'll call them. He was covered. Nice catch in the end zone on the left side there. So I would start with Brandon LaFell becoming once again a complimentary / playmaking reliable option for Tom Brady in the passing game now.
I would throw in LeGarrette Blount offensively before we move over to defense.
#
Blount is better.
A lot of talk, as I predicted, about Jonas Gray and when he finally got on the field, and he got a couple carries, irrelevant. LeGarrette Blount had a few more of those LeGarrette Blount-type runs where he's breaking tackles and getting downfield, and I agree with Mark Bertrand that he tweeted, all this fascination with Jonas Gray is great and all. He was on Sports Illustrated last week. I know all that, but guess what? # Blount is better.
It's nothing against Jonas Gray.
No.
It's just my personal opinion, and it's always been this way. I kind of like LeGarrette Blount. I kind of like what he brings to the table, and I think he's actually going to give you more.
What not to like? I mean, dating
it's
back to the end
more.
Of last season. Now, we're not saying
he's not a huge difference.
He
there.
Is, Adrian Peterson. He's going to rush for 2,000 yards. But how long does he have to show that knack, the ability to break tackles and turn some lesser plays into big plays and to move the pile and get, hit 6 yards and carry that pile 12 yards before you say, he's pretty good?
Yeah, we're going to get to this in the hour 45 after the good, the bad, and the injured, but did they get away from the run a little bit today? Or did you think that the situation in the game dictated that they had to?
No, I don't think it dictated that it had to. I know you weren't stopping
I thought
them.
They got away from it a little bit.
So I do. I think they got away from it a little bit.
I think 17 carries
today? 18 carries versus 35 passing attempts in the game.
Right, it's really only 17 because one of those is a Brady near.
Right.
Though.
I was looking more for 30-30 type game or high 20s type game. You never got there. And I don't think that you had to get away from it. I know the defense wasn't playing great, and they were moving the ball up and down the field, but maybe that's even more of a reason to keep them on the sideline and be balanced on offense.
I think what happens sometimes with Josh and with the offense is when they do fall behind, I think they feel like they can't afford to run the ball unsuccessfully. In other words, if they come out on a drive and they're down 9, like they were at times in the first half, and you come out on first down and you run it for no gain, or maybe you throw on first down and it's incomplete, now you want to run on second down, and it's 3rd and 8, and they feel like, we have to score here, and we can't put ourselves in long-distance situations, and you can't risk running the ball. And I think sometimes they do fall into that. I think with Blunt, I think they did get away from him a little bit today, and they mixed him in a little bit in the second half. I thought he had some effective runs there. I think he had back-to-back 13-yard carries in the early fourth quarter on that touchdown drive that ended with LaFell's second touchdown. I think it's a fine line that they walk. I thought they got away from it a little bit, though.
What did we think of the one and only Rob Gronkowski in this game? 98 yards receiving. It didn't feel like
I thought he was fine.
That much.
I thought
he was fine.
Yeah, he was rock solid again, but that's a touchdown catch that he makes.
It's what you expect from him, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough catch.
Tough catch.
Mm. A big guy laying out like that.
I was impressed with Clinton Dix on that play.
I was impressed with Clinton Dix, but I also think if you're Tom Brady and you're throwing to Rob Gronkowski, now I'm nitpicking here, but get the ball in the air. He's the biggest guy on the field. Let him go up with his big mitts and get it. Don't make him go low. Don't make him dive. I don't think that's putting him in the best position to have a chance at the football. Get that ball up in the air. Another guy I thought was really good today, and he's been the talk of the town on defense for a little while now, is Dante Hightower. You know, he had a sack. He had a few tackles for a loss. Nice reads. He had that big hit where, was it Adams that I said he left in the fetal position on the field?
Hit him right in the chest.
Yeah. And a clean hit. I mean, a good,
good hit.
Linebacker
yeah.
middle.
Oh, it was a shoulder, not
hit.
Even a helmet right. to the chest. It was a shoulder to
so
the chest.
So I think Dante Hightower had a really solid game for the defense.
Yeah.
Although it's hard
excellent.
To be too goo goo and gaga for anybody on defense.
Yeah. And I will say this, and I know they allowed a lot of big plays today, and we just talked about all the long gains. That coverage in the secondary must have been really good today for the most part, because
yes.
Aaron Rodgers had all day. Almost every time he dropped back. And we'll get to the bad in a second. But
11.23 seconds, according to the highly paid Greg Bedard.
11.88, according to the highly paid. On that one play.
Yeah. He's nitpicking over a tenth of a second.
And they had a lot of plays like that, Andy. You know, well, that was the
yes.
most egregious.
Yes.
But he had time to look left, right, and middle and didn't really feel great. And some of the big plays that he did make were because of that, you
right.
know. The first read wasn't necessarily there, and I thought on the third down that won the game for them when they had to get a first down before the 2-minute warning, they had pretty good coverage on that play. That was just a, you know, like Mark Jackson says on the NBA games, that was good defense, better offense. Sometimes you just got to tip your cap.
Am I being ridiculous to say that may have been the longest play I've ever seen?
I don't think so.
Okay.
That was a long time.
Because that seemed like re-goddamn-diculous.
Certainly the longest that I've ever seen without scrambling being involved.
Right. He was just kind of hopping
around. He was standing
there
and he kind of moved around. You know, you see sometimes quarterbacks get behind the line of scrimmage and they start, you know, Fran Tarkenton scrambling from sideline to sideline. But that was just kind of sitting in the pocket and moving around.
Here's a guy that I think is up in the air in terms of which list you put him on. Darrell Revis obviously gave up that big touchdown right before the half Jordy Nelson, which is... You know, it's not typical Darrell Revis. I can say that with certainty. But I thought, other than that play, I thought Revis played well in this game.
He did. But that's the life of an NFL cornerback.
That one big play.
The one, and that was a big play. More so than I'm even saying the 45 yards. I think the timing of that. The fact that you felt like you would come back into the game there. You're probably thinking, yeah, we're going to make them pay for kicking those field goals. And boom, 45 yards later, he's in the end zone. So, yeah, I don't want to be overly hard on Darrell Revis, but... You know, I hold him to a high standard, and giving up a 45-yard touchdown with a minute or whatever was left in the first half.
It was like less than 30 seconds.
Yeah, I that's bad. I can't put him on the good side.
Yeah, that was a tough play. I thought both of those guys, Revis and Browner, they showed up.
I said this to you, guys weren't
breaking free.
I thought early on the Browner on Jordy Nelson, Revis on Cobb seemed to be working.
Yep.
And then they kind of flip-flopped it, got away from it. You know, and okay, if you lose because Logan Ryan or Kyle Arrington or anybody can't cover, that's one thing, but it felt like you got away from something that looked like it worked early, which was your normal, basic, you know, size versus size, my big versus your big, my small. So I thought that was a little curious to get away from that and mix it up.
855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Webradio at patriots.com. Got a little something stuck in my throat there, Andy.
Really having a hard time swallowing this loss, are you?
It is. It's just, I'm getting choked up. What
tough one
say?
To swallow.
Is it time to move to the bad?
I was going
to
say, is there anything else, the good we need?
Rob Ninkovich.
Well, on special teams?
Yes.
Okay.
Long snapper Rob Ninkovich.
Long snapper Rob Ninkovich was good.
Yeah, I thought he was. I thought
he also
was,
plays defense.
Yeah, and
no, different guy. It's like Belichick the GM and Belichick the coach. This is long snapper Ninkovich and defensive Ninkovich. And by the way, all right, let's just get into the. Did you want to get to something, Paul?
That's a bad.
What?
What you're going to say right now, right? About asking Ninkovich to do what they were asking him to do today.
Not even asking him to do it. You have one defensive end who's a pass rusher, and you're asking him whatever the scheme was to cover on these wheel routes and plays down the sideline, which not only isn't necessarily his strength, but it removes the edge guy on that side, so it gives Rodgers even more time to roll out to his right to make the throws. That just seemed like an ill-conceived defense scheme. You know, we often say Belichick does a good job scheming, Sean Merriman. He gets him in coverage instead of, well, that happened to them. They've got Ninkovich in a can't-win situation.
Yeah, give Mike McCarthy the credit, because I think Andy's right about Cobb and Nelson at the beginning seemed to be contained pretty well. And I thought the first big play that either one of them made was a play that McCarthy had Cobb line up in the backfield. Now, set this up by giving him a carry early in the game. He gave him another carry, I think, later.
Yep.
So you lined up, you're treating him as a running back. They've already shown you that they'll hand the ball to him, and he runs a simple wheel route out of the backfield. Now, Andy, you brought up that Revis was on the run play, sort of acting almost like a middle linebacker.
He manned up with him. He stayed with him. He kind of mirrored him and was, 7 yards off the ball in the defensive line. And then after they made the switch and it was no longer Revis man up with Cobb, that's when they started to get in trouble with Cobb out of the backfield and Ninkovich getting put in a lose-lose situation, I'll dub it.
And that was a simple wheel route that, I'm sorry, Rob Ninkovich cannot run with Randall Cobb.
Right. It's ridiculous.
And that was pitch and catch. That was as easy can be. There's no safety help there. That's just a guy covering a back out of the backfield. But it's not really a back, and it's not really a coverage linebacker.
Right.
That was a disaster.
It's about
all
as far away as you could get on the coverage spectrum.
And later, James Starks, who is a running back, beat him on a similar play on the sideline for another big play.
We always praise Belichick. Players praise Belichick, putting guys in position of strength to make plays, not putting them in bad positions. I think Rob Ninkovich got put in a bad position a few different times tonight.
855-PATS-500. We've also got what else you got for bad?
Other bads. Marcus Cannon was brought in as the extra blocker this week because obviously Cameron Fleming is inactive dealing with that ankle injury, and I thought Marcus Cannon was putrid in that role.
Doesn't that kind of go along with his whole entire season?
Well, it's yes. I mean, he stunk at guard. He's bad as your extra tight end, blocking tight end in this role. It's almost like, and I tweeted this, I feel like half the pressures this year, half the bad plays on the offensive line involve him. When he's on the field, bad stuff happens.
We're not the only ones that feel like this.
Good thing this wasn't a win, because I feel like we just would have said. And now joining us now on the Ace Ticket Hotline, Marcus Cannon talking about the victory.
Clearly, we're not the only ones that feel like this. Bill Belichick a couple of weeks ago, when he had the opportunity to use an extra offensive lineman, it was Cameron Fleming.
Right.
Fleming was inactive again
today.
Played
well in that role. Yeah. He was healthy.
Yes.
And he was inactive again today with that ankle injury, unfortunately, that he suffered late in that Colts game. And you had Cannon fill that role today, and Andy's right. He gave up a bad pressure to Clay Matthews where he got a piece of the ball, and they were lucky that, A, he didn't fumble, or B, the wounded duck that Brady ended up throwing up there didn't get intercepted. He gave up another pressure when he was lined up on the right side. I think it may have been to Peppers. I'm not sure exactly who was on that side. And then you get a situation down on the goal line, first and goal from the two, and he's the extra offensive lineman. He commits a false start penalty. Just bad all around for Marcus Cannon.
Yeah, you're better at that than him. Good job.
That one?
Logan Ryan.
Oh, boy, he was toasted in this game.
But I'm not just going to put it on him, because, yes, he was toasted, but I'll put third corner. I didn't think those guys handled that matchup with Devontae Adams, and, I asked Tom Silverman, or Silverstein, whatever his last name was.
Silverstein?
Spoon.
Spoon.
What they were going to do if the Patriots took it. Clearly, Aaron Rodgers said, I like this matchup. I like my guy, who we had talked about was a little banged up in practice this week. Didn't look banged up in this game until he dropped the game-ending touchdown.
Do you think that Bill sort of treated Devontae Adams as strictly an outside receiver, and that's why he didn't have Arrington much on him. I don't think he had very many snaps on Adams.
I don't think he did.
It was for a short period of time, I think, in the second quarter. But I think he may have looked at it as this is not a strength of Arrington's. This is a tall outside guy, and
also
I don't
also wasn't a strength of anybody else.
Oh, God, no. Ryan and Dennard really struggled. I mean, they couldn't cover him. They couldn't
and
cover
Alfonso
him.
Dennard, I give maybe that little bit of a Brandon Browner you haven't played in a month, so I give you because he had the push-off on the one where it definitely should have been an offensive pass interference on, but he struggled.
Especially based on the way they called the game today.
He tackled poorly.
I thought the officiating was over-officious as usual.
There was a lot of flags in this game.
Well, just questionable ones. The one on Browner early in the game, I understand that they've made that an automatic. This is more of a beef with the rules. They put the referees in a no-win situation. If you touch the face mask, they're going to call it now on the illegal use of the hands. He barely grazed the bottom of Jordy Nelson's face mask on that play. That negated the second down sack that would have created the third and long. That might have been a situation they could have gotten off the field very early in the game. I thought the touchdown drive that ended with LaFell's second touchdown, the third down that gets converted on the illegal contact to Edelman, I don't know what a defensive back is supposed to do. He's standing in the slot. Edelman runs right into him, and they call illegal contact because it's more than 5 yards. Mm-hmm. I don't know what defensive backs are supposed to do in that league. I really don't.
The timing actually bothered me even more than the call on that one. Before the pass,
illegal contact.
Well, it's funny because the flag just barely hit the ground now.
The flag didn't come out until after the ball had come to a complete stop after it was hit off of Edelman, hit the ground, and started rolling for 10 yards, and then stopped, and then here comes the flag.
I want video of like that flag being stuck in his pants because otherwise there is no excuse for that.
They never did show you another angle of that.
Terrible.
Just kind of
horse poo.
Put it out there.
I don't know how these defensive backs, I don't know how Bronner is supposed to cover, if you can't even use your hands. I thought that was a tough call on the Packers. To be fair, I don't want to make it sound like I'm just bitching about the calls that went against the Patriots.
So it's safe to put the coaches in the bad, right? Belichick, yeah, McDaniels, Patricia. Whatever the groupings and decisions, I didn't feel like they, and I think most people assume the Patriots have a coaching advantage in this matchup.
Yeah,
right?
And if you want to go to a step further, Andy, they opened the game, and I will give the Patriots some credit for an adjustment, but Eddie Lacy opens the game with 3 rushes for 39 yards. Now, they adjusted to that, and he didn't do a ton after that. He had a couple of good runs after that, but not as many.
He also got hurt. But
So they weren't prepared to stop the run to open the game. They certainly weren't prepared to stop the big plays passing. And then we talked about the different matchups that McCarthy, I thought, dictated very well when he adjusted by moving Cobb around and doing some of those different things. And then you go down to game strategy, which we already talked about, the fourth down that Bill goes for a field goal. A 47-yard field goal, too, outside in Lambeau. That comes into play, too. If it's fourth and goal from the 18 and you're kicking a field goal, that might, that's pretty much right. An automatic. 47-yard field goal is not automatic. They put the Packers in a situation where they even had, I think, Beadle, you said this, as soon as they missed the field goal. Now they even have the ball in decent field position. It might have been you, Andy, when we were watching it. So
and
I thought
bad turf.
All around, I thought that was a questionable decision.
One of the talking points this week was the questionable footing at Lambeau, and you're asking him to make a long field, plant foot type of thing.
With a
snapper that is unfamiliar. Mm-hmm. I don't think that necessarily, it may not have been a perfect snap. I don't think that's the reason the kick was missed. And I haven't seen a close replay. I don't know if he slipped, but I know footing is a consideration just in general at Lambeau Field this time of year and based on the way games have been of late. So, yeah, I would put the coaching staff. And I'm sure Bill has already said they need to coach it better. I'm not doubting that. I think he wouldn't put.
I'm going to guess he said that at least five times. I'm going to put the over under at five.
Okay, we'll
just
got to
play
later.
Better,
find
coach
out.
It better.
We'll count. We will count.
Made more plays than we did.
There were some injuries in this game. Aaron Dobson, I think, was out there for one play and then got hurt.
Poor Aaron Dobson.
More importantly,
I to the point where I'm feeling like that too.
Dante Hightower did get injured on a play. It was the same play that Patrick Chung went down.
That was the play.
It was the longest play ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 11.88 second play. I don't know how. I want to know how Chung got hurt on that play.
I think Chung was tired.
I think he had to have just been tired or something.
Either that or he may have bounced off Aaron Rodgers, and that's not cool. Your hard-hitting strong safety bounced off.
But Hightower did come back in the game.
Came right back. He took a playoff.
But I wonder what that was and if that's something to – because
– He looked grimacing under – I don't know what it was.
They cannot afford to lose him.
No.
They cannot afford to lose him.
Especially with the way he's playing. There's the fact that they don't have bodies, but also he's playing well.
Well, they're asking him to do a lot, too.
Right.
Those are the Actually, another one was Kyle Arrington got shaken up, but again, nothing serious there.
Oh, I didn't realize that he got
shaken
up. Maybe
did.
That's why.
Saw that on Twitter.
Maybe that's why Dennard had to go in, Andy.
So those are the, I would say less serious, because even though you had Dennard in the game, I don't think it was perceived to be that serious of an injury based on those who were able to watch the sidelines and
did
such.
Did you say Julian Edelman yet?
No, this is what I'm getting to. Okay. The one that bears watching is Julian Edelman. He looks like he's hurting.
Yes.
He looks like there's something going on there.
And we assumed, and I still don't really have full clarification as to whether it's a re-injury of the thigh issue or whatever he had from landing. And then there was a lot of people saying he was getting his ankle retaped and it might be an ankle issue. But whatever it is, Edelman, lower body, limping, not good.
I thought he hurt his ankle on that play. And then that's what people were tweeting. But then I thought the sideline report from Tracy Wolfson said something about a thigh as well. So maybe she said that, because we were kind of talking and didn't hear it. Maybe she said he came in dealing with a thigh injury.
So there's some injury stuff there, too, this week.
I throw you guys off track sometimes. I have no idea how I get it. I have no idea how I do
just
it.
Just so you know, not exactly hard to throw us off track.
Yeah, we're just focusing on some other things. Let's get
to some
of
that's just
calls.
Dirt in the What's Patriots wrong? Fans' wounds. What's Aaron Rodgers' double-check, pump-you-up commercial is on as we speak on Sunday Night Football. That just ain't right.
Let's get to some of the phones. Get to your thoughts. We'll
Wait,
start.
I have one question.
What?
I want
what? What?
I just want to... I just want to throw this out to listeners,
okay?
Because I know they are the experts on this. They analyze these things.
Oh, I know where you're going.
The Belichick McCarthy post game handshake / extended chat, being in the same area. Bill was kind of away, but talking. I read it as I didn't think Bill was happy with something.
You read it totally wrong, Andy.
Oh,
you're wrong on this, man.
He tells me definitively.
He said definitively.
You're wrong.
I want to specifically ask. I know a lot of you guys DVR the games. I would like it. If someone could just check it real quick, just right after media post game,
and read his lips if you can.
They come to midfield. They shake hands. Andy thought he saw something. I wasn't. I had turned based on Andy's reaction. It caused me to look, and I'm like, "What am I looking at? I don't know exactly
Andy's
what he
wrong.
Was talking about."
So you know
and it's not like he hit him or anything. He just was kind of. I didn't think it was. Great game today, great this, great that, great everything. It felt like he was discussing something of
right.
a more serious nature.
See, I don't think so at all. The
no,
fact
I think
that
you're
he,
wrong.
The fact that
I
he
think
spoke.
You're
the first couple words of the press conference were how great a job Mike McCarthy did.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what Bill would do if
that's,
there was.
That's false. He would take a rocket shot at him. Indirectly. You'd have to read between the lines.
Yeah.
He would not say how great a job that
just,
McCarthy
from what
did.
I saw,
I think he was
like
upset
the fact
with something.
The fact that those guys that
the
he
fact
spoke
that he kicked
to him,
the field goal on 4th and 18.
He spoke to him with like intent.
What am I doing?
And they, actually didn't just sit there and grunt at him, and they actually had a conversation. And it spoke to me as, well, there's respect there. He respects Mike McCarthy and saying,
I'd congratulate Coach McCarthy. Aaron, Packers. I played a good football team game. That's a good football team.
That's what you're going by? The fact that he said he'd like to congratulate Coach McCarthy?
First words out of his mouth?
Literally, first words.
I'm
going to
say this now. I still don't know what Andy saw.
Paul, watch it. You're going to say, oh, that's nothing. They're just
no,
talking.
No. But after hearing him say, I I'm kind of with Andy now, but I think that's kind of the way he would handle it. If he was mad, I think that's the way he would handle it.
Wait a minute. You just said to Andy.
You just said to Andy.
It sounded very convincing. Absolutely not. He'd come out and throw a shot at him, He'd kind of slip it in there.
No, it would be something.
Whatever the hell you're saying.
Yes. Yes. It would be like something.
Come on, take a shot. That's not taking a shot at him. That's not giving him any kind of backhanded
compliment.
You
got to read between the lines.
Yeah,
I'd like to congratulate
I'm
him.
Not willing.
Between the lines, he
that's
says,
not,
real impressive if that's the way you want to do it.
That's reading between the lines. That's making stuff up.
No, I'm not willing to say.
Watch the video. Watch the video.
I did watch the video. I was there with you, Andy.
You did not see it.
You showed tremendous respect for Mike McCarthy.
I don't think that comment right there was tremendous respect.
I was stunned by how long they talked.
How quick does this stuff go up on YouTube, Kevin? Can we get this soon?
I'm not willing to say that there's anything
near. Jobs put it
on. Nothing.
He shakes his head like he has no interest.
People,
looking, by the way.
I have two people that saw
the
same thing
the
and
planet.
Have a different opinion. You say there was nothing.
Nothing
Andy there. Says there was something. I didn't see it. So.
I bet he was telling Mike McCarthy, we might see each other again down the road. That's what I think he was saying. But I have no idea.
That would be more along the lines of what Andy's talking about.
And next time,
I can't believe I just
so well.
Lost to you. That's what he's thinking to himself.
We got any emails on anything?
We got
I just
phone
wonder.
Calls. We're going
to
get to them. But
I wonder if anybody had gotten a good look at that. And
you're
they could,
wrong.
You can't just keep saying I'm wrong.
I can.
As long as you keep saying Andy's wrong.
You brought nothing to the table.
I have no part in this.
How about if I just say, I'm right?
Okay. What about that conversation led you to believe?
The way it took place.
What about it?
The facial expressions of Bill
Belichick.
There
was no facial expression.
The extended time it took.
It was expressionless.
Other than normal.
Expressionless.
What is Paul doing?
I don't know what he's doing.
There's a big girl playing for Texas.
No one derails a show like Paul Perillo.
Texas and not Tennessee women's basketball. There's a big one down low for Texas.
Hey, Imus. Oh. Easy over there.
She's big. What does that have to do with Imus?
It's funny because he's fat.
What exactly does that have to do with... Is that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard?
No, I think Bertrand liked it. He can barely speak right
because
now.
He thinks it's so ridiculous. I said she was big. How is that racist?
In that undertones.
Guy in a little coat.
I'm fat too, and it has nothing to do with race.
In a little coat.
All right, we should probably get to the phone calls and emails.
Let's go to the phones. We'll start with Todd in Toronto. Hi, Todd.
Yeah, first PFW cures me cancer. Now the Pats try to give me a heart attack. Anyway, guys, I love the game. I'm going to say, I thought that our players wanted this game. I saw a lot of energy in them, especially at the start. We were outcoached. Oh. We were totally outcoached. I love Andy's. He loves Devlin. He loves Gronk. We have Hooman. Put Cannon somewhere out in the stand somewhere. Get Blunt. Get Gray in that backfield. What the hell was Bolden doing out there? I don't know. You know, outcoached. They moved Rebus and Browner off of their starting coverages. Outcoached. Oh, and by the way, Edelman's thigh was hurt. You could see him working it out on the sidelines.
Yeah.
He was high-kicking and rotating his leg as if to try to loosen his thigh. But seriously, guys, if Andy would have been the offensive coordinator for this game, we'd have won.
I agree.
I seriously believe that with all my heart and soul. Because if you smash them in the mouth with Devlin, Blunt, throw some Gray in there, they're not going to be able to handle it. And get the Kevin the hell out of there. Put Hooman on one side, Gronk on the other side, and say, okay, guys, what are you going to do? You're fast? Fine. We're stronger. We're moving the pile for 4 or 5 yards to carry. When you're ready to give in, then we're going to start throwing it.
That's a great question you bring up, because I thought Hooman was kind of a blocking tight end for this team. What is he?
He's a blocking tight end.
So why don't they ask him to be a blocking tight end more?
Because they're stoned.
Oh.
Something happened.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see that guy. Mike Belichick's go-go juice before he came into Green Bay, because he's just outcoached.
Now, one last question, since you clearly fixated on Belichick today. Did you see his post-game handshake with Mike McCarthy?
I did. He looked constipated.
I don't know what that means. Did you think he was upset with McCarthy in any way?
I think he was totally pissed off at himself.
He
had that look of, you know, I lost this game. That's what I saw. I saw that, holy shit, I was out.
Yeah. You hate to have that happen, Todd. When that happens, we have to let you go.
Yeah, what are you, you're a host?
Yeah. Since when did we start doing that?
What the hell is that thing?
Since when did we start doing that?
When I blow people up.
Wait, but I get the blow up. What's the
That's
other
original.
Like, what's the
dropped
other
the bomb
thing?
On me?
You dropped a bomb on me.
Oh.
Gap
do we always do that?
No.
That's okay.
That's Michael Holly.
I rarely drop people.
Jimmy we stole Stewart it from special. Michael Holly?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Somebody has a toilet flush now that I kind of
whoa,
like.
Whoa, whoa. It's not a Jimmy Stewart special.
It's a Michael Holly special.
From circa 2005. Yeah, it is.
Says that your producer who calls me for drops.
Oh, boy. Don't start that conversation. Don't do that. Don't do that now. Trey's in Memphis. Hi, Trey.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, you know, I'd like to ask you the same, because you got a competitive football game with a losing effort, and where does that leave you as a fan?
Well, this game plan was not what I expected from an offensive standpoint. I mean, playing 30-ranked defense and real light up front, and as the linebacker was this, I thought we were just going to load up the dump truck, man, and just keep going. And, Obviously, we had something else in mind. I mean, even being down 9 points, I never felt the game was really getting away because we were still right there. So I just feel like, man, you know, you can't abandon the run, man. It's been working for you. I mean, I say again, you know, you rank, you're facing a defense that is ranked 30th against the run. I mean, why not just, you know, like I said, man, load up the dump trucks and bulldozers, man, and then just hit them dead in the mouth. Defensively, I feel like that play giving up to Jordy Nelson, man, that was huge, and I think that kind of sucked a little air out of it. But I don't know if that was man coverage or Reeves wasn't expecting zone. I mean, but he kind of let up a little bit. So I need some uplift here, guys. So give me something.
Well, I'll give you something. A lot of people said you didn't want to win this game, or you didn't want to show too much if this was a Super Bowl preview. You don't have to worry about beating the Packers twice in one season now. You can focus on a single victory in Arizona.
Let's go to.
I don't know if that makes anybody feel any better.
I don't know that it does.
Okay, it would make me feel better if I thought Green Bay had a sniff of getting there, but I don't think they do.
What do you need to do?
Since this was a Super Bowl preview, right? Super Bowl 48 and a half or whatever.
Yes.
So let's treat it like a Super Bowl. One of the common arguments is who lost the game, your offense or your defense? Who lost the game, the offense or the defense?
I think there's equal blame to go around.
That's a tough one for this game, Andy.
I would put it,
it's a tough one for this game. It's not exactly.
I don't think either side played well. I would put it on the defense because you got to come up with at least one stop. And they didn't really stop them all day.
I'd put it on the defense because of that touchdown for Jordy Nelson right before the half.
That's a good point, too.
If this
is
a Super Bowl,
play. You
look at that play and you say they
lost the game on that play.
That's how I look. Not a Super Bowl.
And it was your best defensive player who gave it up.
But I would go to the flip side. I think I would go with the offense because I think it's not a very good defense. And I had sort of penciled you in as a 30-point team at this point.
It's hard to score
season.
When you don't have the ball.
I know, but you got to score.
Well, obviously you don't know.
Well, I know why you didn't have the ball, because you went 3 and out to start the game twice, or 3 and out and 4 and out or whatever the hell it was. I mean,
you
were back to early season.
You're blameless.
You can't dig holes.
Again, that's why
I said is my key.
That's why I said I have a hard
time.
That's why I have a hard time picking just one. But if I'm going to go with just one, I think in 50 plays, they scored 21 points.
Andy, that is unbelievable.
That's not that bad.
You're demanding that we pick one.
I think
we're
the defense was
worse. Hard one. They're both to blame. And then we pick one, and you make it sound like we're letting the other one off the hook.
Well, you are.
I mean, the defense allowed almost 500 yards.
Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, supposed to put points on the board against the defense.
I think
they
had the ball for 54 plays. They scored 21 points. That's not terrible.
That's not enough.
Alex.
Because the defense didn't do it today.
Alex is in Florida.
And this is kind of what I've been wondering, what would happen if your offense doesn't score 38 points. How would the defense respond?
Let's get to Alex, Andy. Let's get to Alex. Alex, what's going on?
Hi, how are you?
What's up?
Well, I don't know. I kind of see the game a little differently. For me, I felt like he was a little bit of a regression from, you know, the solid play that I've been seeing, obviously, in the past 7 games. And for me, it's definitely a question of coaching. I think this is a coaching issue. We played, even though it was a close and competitive game, I felt like we were playing like we were behind like 30 points. We don't play well from behind from a coaching standpoint. There have just become questionable calls, questionable selection of personnel to come in and run those calls. I think that, you know, they couldn't commit to who they wanted to run the ball. I mean, if Weston could be the most successful, and then he would be, you know, getting some momentum, and then they just put him on the sideline and put in somebody else. And for me, I thought the pass protection was subpar at times.
Yep.
And in comparison to what it's been, for me, this was a game of regression, and I just never felt like we wanted to win. I never felt that sense of urgency. I just felt like we were playing from behind the entire game, and we just put ourselves in that mentality like we're playing from behind, you know, like desperation. Not desperation mode, but it felt like we were down by like 30, not 9.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with your point. The overall pass protection offensive line I didn't think was great. I said to Paul, it felt like every play there was somebody coming off the backside turning the corner, getting the corner, and I just, not a great game, I thought, for Nate Solder and the overall protection.
Yeah, it was one of those funny games where Rodgers got sacked 2 or 3 times, and Brady, I think, only got sacked once, the last offensive play of the game, and the Patriots had Brady had far much more pressure to deal with than Rodgers did.
Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. NFL coaches and players across the league use their Surface tablets to influence the next big play call. And with a Surface tablet at home, you can do the same in your fantasy league. Surface, trusted by the NFL, built for the fans. Surface. Do more. We're going to get right back to your phone calls. And we have one open line at 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500. When we come back on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show, we're getting right back to the calls. We're going to jump into your emails as well. We've got Bill Belichick and Tom Brady coming up. Lots more to come here on the show.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats. Maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships. AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years. The first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Need to vent about today's game? Mark, Paul, and Andy are here for you on the A's Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Patriots fall to the Packers at Lambeau Field today. Both teams now 9-3 on the year. Patriots fall by a score of 26-21 on the road, and now it's on to San Diego for the Patriots, who will leave Green Bay tonight and head on south to San Diego. They will not make a return southwest, that would be, from there. You know what I mean, Andy. They're heading south, southwest. You get it.
Nobody saw the face I made.
Yeah, I did,
the quizzical, concerned face.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Southwest.
Heading southwest.
SoCal.
To Southern California. And they go to San Diego, where they will spend the week. That's where they'll practice. That's where they will prepare for this game coming up a week from now, these back-to-back road games that they have. We're talking about this loss tonight for the Patriots, and we're doing it with your thoughts on both the phone lines and on email. Let's get to a couple of emails before we get back to the calls. Let's get to some thoughts here from Nick. And Nick writes, I'm actually fairly happy with how the team played. However, there were a couple of faults that I think derailed us today. First, there was absolutely no pressure. Paul could have been able to avoid sacks today. Second, the offensive line, as soon as the third quarter began, they could not protect Brady at all. And can I talk about the refs? Holy crap, they were bad. I saw a few blatant calls they missed. I half expect Ed to rip off his shirt and have a Rodgers jersey underneath. That's from Nick with some thoughts on this game. Only four accepted penalties for each of the teams in this game. But it did seem, like Paul said right off the top, there was a little bit too much officiating going on out there on the field tonight.
And we know Paul loves that.
Over-officious jerks.
Yes. Another email says, we don't have enough juice. Amendola? Question mark. Dobson? Question mark. This is not a Super Bowl team. Thanks.
We have
Jagger.
The best listeners, the best fans. I love the reaction. You can be level-headed on Tuesday.
Like,
on PFW in progress.
That's the reason why.
But
Dobson and Amendola.
I love. Come on, Paul, are you okay over there?
Paul's stunned by that email.
Didn't we say
Packers going nowhere with Jarrett Boykin as their seventh receiver? I'm going to tell you that right now. Going absolutely nowhere.
Can't have that.
But didn't we literally discuss pregame that, you know, the Patriots, this wasn't going to affect their status as a Super Bowl contender,
right,
almost regardless of what happened tonight. Mm-hmm. And they played a tough game. We were saying, if this were actually a Super Bowl, you got an entertaining, pretty much down-to-the-wire Super Bowl.
Yeah, you did.
And yet, some of these fans are leaving this game feeling like the Patriots lack the juice and are not a Super Bowl team.
I don't agree with those thoughts.
I just don't agree with those either.
Mike, for Mike, it's pretty simple. He writes, the game was lost by the lines on both sides. Rodgers had way too much time, and Brady was rushed a lot, which caused him to miss a lot of throws. That's from Mike in Nova Scotia. To go back to a conversation we had, guys, in the pregame show with our guest, his name is
Tom Silverstein.
Tom the Spoon Silverstein. He was saying in the pregame, you know, Rodgers, there might be something to the fact that he doesn't want to make plays and he's afraid of making mistakes. Do you feel like the extra time that he was granted in the pocket in this game became a huge advantage for him? I mean, it was an advantage in the fact that he didn't get sacked. He did a few times, but it wasn't like he was getting sacked. But I don't feel like the extra time bought them a bunch of big plays in this game.
I think he took advantage of some of the extra time, and you never want to give a guy that time, regardless.
Of course not.
So, I mean, the lack of a pass rush is problematic. And we've talked about that forever. I mean, they don't have a consistent pass rush. I've seen some fans already on Twitter sort of criticizing Belichick's whole controlled rush idea, and that's stupid. I think that's an issue. And I do think he made some plays that happened, you know, after the 3 second count or whatever the hell you want to give a number to. They didn't all go 11 seconds, but he made some plays where he shifted in the pocket, slid, moved, and then made plays.
He is good. I mean, as much as I was telling you
that pregame.
As much as I make fun of him, you know, for his comportment, I always joke around about, he does a good job of buying time right. and ad-libbing in the pocket. And I don't think there's anybody that throws the ball moving as accurately as he does. I think that is what separates him. That's why the people that say he's the best quarterback in football, I would certainly agree with that. That's what separates him, is his ability to not just move and buy himself some time like Kaepernick and Wilson do. It's his ability to throw the ball when he does that. And we've made a big deal of it all week about you can't let him get to the right. Andy talked about Ninkovich is dropping off in coverage on the right side, which is almost inviting him to roll that way and buy time. And Rodgers made you pay. There's no question about that. That was a huge element of the game. I agree with that sentiment.
Let's go back to the phones at 855-PATS-500. We go to Brian. He's in Gary, Indiana tonight. Hi, Brian.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Not too bad.
Doing well, Brian.
Hey, this is the first time I ever called a show, this show or the PFW show. I just want to say that I really enjoy listening to you guys. I like what y'all do, and keep it up.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
I gotta say one thing. I'm a crazy Patriots fan. I'm stuck in between Bears country and Colts country, and they all hate us, so I'm kind of a lone man on the island by myself out here. But anyway, I want to get to y'all point about, Andy, you said something about this game tiptoed the line of not being competitive if the Packers had made a few plays.
Yep.
And usually, like I say, I'm a crazy Patriots fan. I'm hard to deal with for a week after we lose. I have to be honest with y'all. This is the best I have felt about a loss in a long time. And the reason why is because we went to Green Bay, hostile environment. In my opinion, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league, even though I still take Brady. Aaron Rodgers is the best. And what he's been able to do to a lot of subpar teams all year, and I kept pointing to people around here who was telling me the Patriots was going to go in there and get blew out. So Aaron Rodgers, they really haven't played anybody as far as at home, the Minnesota win, the teams they've been piling up all these points on. And I was just happy that we were able to, in their house, go toe-to-toe with them. And even though I agree with Paul, like, this ain't no Super Bowl preview. Green Bay ain't sniffing the Super Bowl. That's my opinion. But if we were to get them again, in my opinion, we got them because we lost by 5 points in their house. Neutral field ain't got a chance.
Yeah, well, I agree with your point about as good as I felt after a loss in a long time. Because I feel like this shows you how good the Patriots are.
Exactly.
Because I think that they didn't play very well today, and I thought Green Bay, for the most part, did play pretty well today.
Exactly.
And they were able to hang in the game. I disagree with your characterization of Green Bay being overrated and all that. I just think the NFC is a much more difficult road than the AFC, and they're going to have a harder time getting there. I don't think they're as good as some of the other teams that are going to get there. And I think their defense will catch up to them in the playoffs at some point. I don't think their defense is very good.
But exactly.
The way you put it about this being one of those losses.
I'm going to piggyback off your point.
Yeah.
We took their best shot today. They didn't get ours, and we only lost by 5 on the road. That says something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
The only losing by 5 on the road at Lambeau Field says something. I agree that you fought hard.
Yeah.
You may have been a little fortunate at times, but you played bend but don't break.
That's why I hesitate
things went
to go
back
that
and forth.
Far.
I don't know that either team really gave its best shot tonight. I think both teams can play better. Certainly on offense, I think both teams can play better.
Green Bay thinks they almost killed themselves, but how bad they played in the red zone.
That's, right.
It all depends on how you look at it. I would just say, like, how did you feel? Forgetting about that it was the AFC Championship game, but the game in Denver, I thought this game and the game in Denver last year were very similar. I didn't really think the Patriots, this game was a little bit closer, but I didn't think the Patriots were ever playing the way they wanted to play in this game.
No, they never really established nothing. One of my few nitpicks, and I don't know how much control Brady has over the calls. Josh McDaniels' play calling at the beginning of games puzzles me. From time to time, he gets stuck in this thing where I mean, I knew we were in trouble with the didn't we go three and out the first two possessions?
I think the first one, and then they got a first down. No, they actually got a first down on the first drive.
I think one was four, one was three.
Yeah, but it wasn't, no
sustained. It was not impressive.
Either one of them, regardless if it was three and out, no sustained drive in the first two.
We still got one of the three or four best, maybe one or two best quarterbacks in the league. And what we do, I understand we want to establish run, and it's important. But what we do is throw the ball. We put Tom Brady in the shotgun with four receivers, and he's been doing it his whole career. And I feel like sometimes just go with your strength. A couple more points.
Quickly, Brian, go ahead.
Is it just me, or do Brady and LaFell, they got something going on, y'all.
Yeah.
And I like it, and I feel like that's going to help us as we get, you know, towards the end of the year and into the playoffs.
Brian, I think you're absolutely right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All good stuff there. LaFell and Brady look like they are very much on the same page.
Sure. And that's a weapon moving forward, and that's a weapon that I think is now a given. I'm not saying he's going to have two touchdowns every game or 100 yards or anything, but it's now a given that Gronkowski, Edelman, and LaFell are guys you can count on. I don't know who else you can count on. You know, I'm not sure Wright is in that mode yet. Another guy I'm going to put in the down category for a single play, Shane Vereen. Shane Vereen continues
not
to
given them much
piss
as of
me
late.
Off. I know the ball was deflected and batted a little bit by Julius Peppers, but it hit him in the hands. And I know I'm holding him to a high standard of Kevin Falk and some of the other guys we've seen, even Danny Woodhead. You got to catch that football. He had a nice play early in the game where they got Clay Matthews in coverage, kind of flipped the field on what the Patriots and Packers did with Ninkovich. But I just need him to be more consistent and be a more positive force.
Can I ask you a question? It has nothing to do with this game. It has everything to do with Shane Vereen. Does he have a future here?
I don't believe so. I don't. I think it's time to move on, maybe for both parties involved.
Him and Ridley?
Oh, no, I meant Patriots and Shane Vereen. I think he maybe can go somewhere
else. I thought you were talking
about
the two running backs, both up.
I
think it's a very realistic possibility that both of them are no longer here next
year.
Yeah,
I think there's a better chance that Ridley's back based on you know, the injury and everything. But who knows? The ascension of Jonas Gray may alter that as well. If they think he's a legitimate guy moving forward, then Ridley may not be back either. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Isn't just this game.
Okay.
0 for their last four on grass. Something to concern with?
1-6 in their last seven.
1-6 in their last seven.
The one victory. A squeaker at Houston. 34-31 to a 2-14 Texans team. Is there something there?
You know why I don't think there's something there?
There's grass there? On the field.
You know why I don't
think
there's
lose?
I think there's absolutely nothing there. I'm just bringing it up as a point of fact.
I think there's nothing there, and I think the stat is kind of unfair because obviously all grass games are road games.
Correct.
And, you know, if you're losing games on the road to Green Bay on grass, no, you lost because you played Green Bay on the road, not because you played on grass. Like,
I agree with you.
I don't think
you play turf at home, so you're going to win. Like your record's going to be better on turf. You're going to play all good games.
Right,
on turf.
Your record is always going to be better on turf.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything to it because I just don't. You play football and because
I just don't.
Well, I mean, I just don't think it makes any sense that a team is equipped to play on grass.
Right, especially in this day and age, one of those classic dome teams.
Yeah, now
old grass.
If it was something like that, it was a dome team, and I thought this was like a big, you know, physical football
team. They practice on grass every day.
And they have LeGarrette Blount. They have Rob Gronkowski. They have Vince Wilfork.
There's no tangible element to it.
They look like a grass team.
The only thing I would say, I don't want to just fluff it off, is that, they're generally a .500 team on the road, and they're not a .500 team on grass.
How many?
The last 2 years.
I don't know if you guys know the answer off the top of your head. How many stadiums still have grass?
Seven.
No
idea. I made that up.
I'm an idiot. Why would I believe
you? I can't believe you bought that so quickly.
Well, I thought maybe you knew because that's
I would say about a third, but I don't know that the number is off the top of my head. Now, to your point, Beetle, you look at they're 1-6. They're 1-6 in their last seven on grass. And you look at the teams they've lost to. Last year, Carolina was a good football team. That was one of the games they lost to. They lost to Denver in the playoffs.
Sure.
And then they lost to Miami. They lost to Miami again this year. Always tough in Miami for the Patriots, even though that's not a very good football team. And then they lost to Kansas City on the Monday night.
Good
tough place
team.
To play. And then Green Bay today, perhaps no tougher place to play. So all of the games, with the exception of the one that they won against Houston, fall into the Beetle category. Did you lose because you were playing on grass, or did you lose because you were playing a really good team on the road?
Like, would you have lost to the Bears at Soldier? No. You probably would have blown the Bears out because they're not that good. Right?
Am I wrong? That's my feeling. And that's why, if there was something tangible that I could say, you know what, grass isn't conducive to the way the Patriots want to play, I would sit there and give it some thought. But I really don't think it has anything to do with anything.
And did you see anything tonight?
No, like, at least I didn't even see guys slipping
tonight. Right, at least in Kansas City, we pointed to the few times they slipped and, oh, they're having trouble with the footing, the turf. I didn't see anything tonight. As I said, I haven't seen a close-up. Maybe I could blame the field goal. Did his plant foot slip on the field goal? I doubt it.
I didn't see any mishaps on that, but that doesn't mean there weren't any.
Bad news, too.
18
Super
stadiums.
Super Bowl, grass.
Oh, really?
18 stadiums have grass.
More than half have grass. I thought it would be like a third.
I thought it would be mid.
Wow.
Because you think of like the, there's a lot of them.
Well, West San Francisco, Coast. San Diego, Oakland all have it. Miami, Houston, Carolina, Kansas City, Pittsburgh.
Did you get Arizona, Denver?
Arizona, Denver.
Kansas City.
Tennessee,
Pittsburgh.
Can I make a Paul Perillo statement and do the full disclosure thing? That I have been rolling on sound and doing other stuff and not really paying attention to a word you're saying? But have we talked about Gronk's play in the end zone at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just making sure.
Which play? Oh, did we say we should have thrown it up to him?
Yeah.
It's on Brady. Yeah. You got to give your big man a chance to get it.
We're talking about
feeding the post. You don't bait the big man, Ben.
The one he almost had, and he kind of rolled over and lost it on that last drive.
I'm surprised Paul hasn't made fun of me yet for saying, you know, Brady's got to put that up where Gronk can go get it. It's Brady's fault.
I'm not surprised.
Joe's in Pennsylvania. Joe's up next on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Joe, we're having a really hard time hearing
you. Can you speak up a little bit louder there, Joe?
See, put you on hold there. See if we can get a better connection.
Hold on a second.
Give him a chance.
Joe, go ahead.
I would like to just make a few comments. But the first
we can't do it, Joe.
I can hear him.
Sorry, it's not going to work, Paul. Joel's in Atlanta. What's
Mini
up, Joel?
Mini Felger over here.
Wow.
Got to get a landline.
Joe, can you call back, Joe? Because I could hear you.
You can hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you, too.
This is Joel from Atlanta, not Joel from wherever the other guy was.
I hear you, bro.
You guys going Hollywood on us. It's hard to call in now.
Well, we do get a lot of calls post-game.
The post-game show does tend to get a lot of calls.
And a lot of people are upset tonight, so I think this could be a lot of calls for a special reason, because everybody feels like they got out-coached.
We did. I think when we came out after halftime in that drive, I mean, just like I think it was like two calls ago, the young lady, she was saying that it seems like the Patriots were down 30 than 9 points. And I think that drive after halftime definitely shown that for some odd reason, you know, they were just like in a rush. They had to score. But to me, it's, you know, just seeing how the first half was going, the best for the Patriots should have done is to try to hold on to the ball and keep the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands.
Well, I think they wanted to. I think they just had a hard time sustaining drives today.
Well, you might be right, Paul. I mean, I don't know what.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Joel. I thought that, and we talked about it right at the top of the show. I did think they got away from the run a little bit, but when you look at it, I mean, I think they threw it 35 times and they ran it 17, something like that. They didn't do anything really. They didn't do anything really well today.
I definitely agree, and that's the problem.
Offensively, you were having a hard time sustaining drives, and I think that's what got them in some trouble. Your larger point, right. I agree with. I thought they got away from the run a little bit in the third quarter.
But you know, Patriots fans have nothing to worry about. I mean, you know, I think outside of that, I mean, we still have good chances of you know, going to the Super Bowl. There's definitely a lot of chatter about the Patriots being. One of the teams that might be in during the end. But, Andy.
Yes.
Something was going on at the end of the game with Belichick.
Bull crap, Joel.
Thank you, Joel.
What do you think it was? I'm really curious about this now.
I commented to my wife. I'm like, what's going on with Belichick? I don't know if he was mad at McCarthy or he was mad at something. He was mad at something after the game. I don't know if it was the refs, but obviously McCarthy really wasn't paying much attention to him. you know, but there was something definitely up with Belichick at the end of the game.
That's well said, because I'm not sure he was mad at McCarthy. Something was up. Something was weird. McCarthy's face, Belichick's face, the length of the interaction, there was something there.
I wonder
McCarthy
if was,
went to the podium after the game and started by, when asked about what Belichick said, quote, Belichick was very gracious post-game on the field. That's according to Mike McCarthy.
You know that's bullcrap then.
That's ridiculous. Now you're just being ridiculous. Now you're being Rex Ryan.
Something was up after that game. I don't know what it was.
I wonder if he was. I wonder if they were really pissy about the
and the moon landing wasn't real.
Well, and that could be.
And they were both lockstep.
He could sell me on that, that they both were saying it's ridiculous we played this game under that officiating condition.
Do you believe these guys did that?
I can buy that. Something was up, though. It was not your normal post-game handshake. Not normal at all.
But I don't think if both coaches led their press conferences with, the other guy was great. I don't.
You need to see it.
I'm sorry. If McCarthy said that he was very gracious post-game,
he's lying.
And he got blistered.
And there's nothing on that tape that would indicate they were mad at each other.
Wait a minute.
Joel just thought there was something there.
I have an eyewitness that says it.
I'm giving you my opinion. That Joel's not an eyewitness.
Your opinion's not
worth it. I'm telling you and Joel.
Your opinion's useless.
And Joel,
you think Andrew Luck sucks.
He just thought, something's up because they're talking for a long time. There was nothing in their facial expressions that indicated there was some kind of problem between the two of them. It's a stupid conversation.
You're a stupid conversation.
Okay. Let's go
I don't think there was any bad blood.
No,
I'm eliminating that.
I never said that there was definitive bad blood.
No, but
I said something was weird.
Whatever the thing was.
See the crap sliding down the wall over there that you just threw? It's going to hit the floor soon.
Nope, it isn't. Because I get callers on my side.
Sorry, Paul, do you have something else to add?
No, I'm just wondering how long he's going to go down with the ship. How far down he's going to go.
Yeah.
Well, until
you're going to associate and lock arms with the people now?
Yes, I'm a man of the people.
I love the people.
He stays behind the red velvet.
What a fraud.
Now you know the argument's getting desperate.
Yeah, what a fraud.
He's saying I'm a man of the people.
What a fraud.
Joel and I go way back.
I love Joel.
Give me a break.
Next time I'm in Atlanta. Is that where he was from? Atlanta?
Yeah, Atlanta.
Hotlanta.
We're going to hit some of those pasty clubs with him. Isn't that the place where they make
What was that, Imus?
Isn't that where they make you put pasties on?
You heard it, right, Beetle?
By the way, how is that big girl doing, Paul?
She's a big one.
I heard it, Paul. You're absolutely right. I heard what he said.
Now that's Imus.
Little Imus. What were you saying there about Atlanta?
Pasties.
How did you say it?
I said they gotta wear pasties.
Oh, okay. Let's
I'm saying they have to wear pasties.
It's important for their business sense.
I'm simply suggesting that they wear pasties.
Passionate about breasts.
Where's Dale Arnold when you need him?
Speaking of the South, let's go to John in North Carolina. Hi, John.
Hey, guys.
What's up, John?
You're down, huh?
Amendola started, right?
Amendola what?
Amendola what?
The game, right? He's a starter.
Nice package, Bear.
Not that I noticed, but I don't know who was out there for the very first play.
He had no catches. That's what I'm saying. This guy's on the field for all the time. He's a starter.
He wasn't out there very often.
He sucks. I mean, can I be honest with you? At this point, John, yes, Danny Amendola doesn't give you a lot of offense.
But he also wasn't giving you a lot.
I'm over it.
He wasn't giving you a lot when you were scoring 40 and 50.
I know. That's why I'm over it.
He's irrelevant. He came in.
But we need help in that area.
John,
went down.
And he came in. Edelman was on the field when Edelman was off the field.
Wait a minute. John, call back.
I screwed up.
Because that was an accidental.
I meant to put him on hold for a second. I hung up on him like an idiot.
Edelman missed like a few plays.
Right.
It wasn't like Amendola had to play the last quarter and a half and didn't
I feel
do anything.
Bad now.
You should, because what it seemed like is a guy doesn't agree with you and says something and you hang up
plus
on him.
Plus, John's one of our better.
I know he is. He calls all
he's
the time.
He's one of our better listeners and callers.
Bad.
So
you should.
Call back
I feel
in,
bad.
John.
I think
we're criticizing Amendola for something that he didn't really do today. He didn't play very many offensive snaps.
But, I mean, if you're going to say that.
He never does.
Like, exactly. Oh, they have a need there. Well, since when? Since this week? Like, since the game tonight, you feel they don't need?
But yes, he's talking about today because Edelman got banged up, but he didn't miss that much time.
But we knew the guy sucked coming into this game.
Well,
if it wasn't for his contract, he wouldn't be on this team.
I totally agree.
That's what it comes down to.
I totally agree with you on that.
And he won't be here next year.
And the bottom line is,
I don't count on him for anything.
I need people to be on the record. Does this offense have enough playmakers to win or not?
Yes, they do. They have enough.
Because I think they do.
I think it does as long as Gronk is healthy.
That's my caveat always.
But so I don't care about the rest of the guys. Enough. As long as Gronk is healthy, they have enough.
What they have right now.
We're worried about Julian Edelman and his health because he is a part of the offense, a part that I think, you know, is a good piece to have. Brandon LaFell has come along great. He had two touchdowns tonight. He looks very much in rhythm and in sync with his quarterback. I like what he is giving this team. It was a good free agent signing. And Rob Gronkowski is Rob Gronkowski again. Yes, they have enough weapons.
And
they
I'll tell you, the one area that I would criticize.
And don't roll your eyes. Don't roll your eyes about Edelman, by the way.
Who, me?
Andy. Andy's rolling his eyes over
I don't
here.
think I
what are we rolling our eyes about Edelman?
I said Edelman is, we're, you know, concerned about the health of Edelman.
Oh, I didn't roll my eyes at
that. I'm not.
You mistook it.
Oh, I mistook it then.
Yeah, you definitely
mistook
it.
I think they'll be fine. As long as Gronk is okay.
Now, I also think that if Edelman misses next week, that Amendola will have five or six catches.
Right, and I also would miss LaFell more than Edelman if one of those two guys was out of the
line. The one area that I do not like Danny Amendola is a punt returner. I think he's a pretty bad punt returner. I think he makes questionable decisions, questionable cuts, back and forth, jitterbug, does
nothing. Luckily, he didn't get many opportunities today.
Joe in Pennsylvania is back with a better phone. Hi, Joe.
Thank you very much for taking my call. One of the few comments, the third down efficiency for the Packers was unbelievable in regards to the third down efficiency, which led to a huge overload of time of possession that the Packers had, which was, you know, that's one of the major reasons why we were defeated.
Yeah, 10 but for 17, things, just to illustrate your point.
The Edelman injury, Amendola came in, and there really was, I think we went three and out after Edelman got hurt. I know he was only out for a few plays, but I think we didn't have any drive after that. It just seems like then Edelman come back and then made some crucial plays later on in the game. But we need somebody to play that slot to go along with Gronk. The other thing that I'd like to make a point about is what is going on with our punter and his average punt yardage in the last few games.
He had an underrated bad day today. You are correct.
I don't even know what his average punt. He had a great punt last week, but it was only one of them. And
he had the 66 yarder that everybody was talking about because it came on the bad snap to Aiken.
Right. And he finished with a good net and gross because he had the 66 yarder. But he has been a middling punter all year. And tonight, he was not part of the good. He was part of the bad.
Joe, thank you for calling back. Melvin from Tennessee checked in on email. Wants to know if the Patriots' loss at Green Bay is going to give Denver extra motivation in their game tonight against Kansas City.
Yes.
They've got to know that the Patriots lost.
Yeah, I mean, that gives them hope, but they have all the motivation they need. If they want to win the division, they need to win this game tonight.
Correct.
I mean, that's the motivation they have, is they've got to try to win the division. They don't have the luxury that the Patriots have and have the division
locked up. He did phrase it as extra motivation.
Yeah, and I would say that, they have a sliver of hope now to get the number one seed. Because if they win this game, now you're even going into the last four games. And all you got to do is beat the Patriots by a game over the last month, as opposed to two games, which is a huge difference. The Patriots ain't losing twice in the last four. They might lose once. So, they have hope, but they have their number one priority has to be to try to find a way to win that AFC West, right? And they're locked in a dogfight with Kansas City. They're tied with Kansas City if they lose this game.
Right.
Totally agree with what you're saying.
They needed to win this game no matter what.
That's the huge difference in the divisions, is the Patriots don't have to worry about anybody in the AFC East.
Eric writes in, Web
Radio.
Don't
tell Fred that.
Unless they happen to, you know, just lose to all the division games.
Fred Kirsch,
which has never happened
still
ever.
Still concerned about the AFC East.
Well, that's why he was glad that Miami lost last
week. Radio at Patriots.com. Eric writes in that he watched the tape of Bill and McCarthy. He watched and Bill kept saying, quote, "You have a good team," according to what he could see on the video. He was telling McCarthy, "You have a good team."
How would you take that if you were the opposite coach?
If he says it once when we hug, I have a good team, I'd like it. If he sticks around and it's a 5-second lingering and he says it five more times, I think he's a robot who has skipped or something. I can't believe he said every time you have a good team.
No, I was wondering.
Being said there.
I was wondering. All right. So the answer to the question, Beetle, is he's going to go all the way down with the ship. My point was, as
it's taking on a lot of freaking water here, Paul. That's all I can tell.
As a coach, Beetle,
you better get your bucket ready, Andy.
If I'm Mike McCarthy. I know I have a good team. Thanks. I don't really need the other team's coach to tell me I have a good team.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that there was malice intended on Belichick's part.
Oh, I don't think there's any malice intended. I just said Andy's fully content to go down with the ship. I'm not going with him. I bailed.
And I never said malice. I said something weird was going on. It was not a normal post-game short handshake.
No,
you know,
don't.
Great game.
No, he's moving the goalpost.
No, screw you.
He's backpedaling.
I'm not backpedaling at all.
He's backpedaling and he's up there.
Hey, that's what we do in the Boston.
I am full steam ahead like Dante Hightower coming off the backside to tackle. What's his name?
I thought you were going somewhere different with that.
What?
I don't know.
I was tackling Eddie Lacy from behind.
Okay.
That was a good play.
Let's get to Stephen Killeen's email. He writes, Beetle, Andy, and Paul, overlooking the flags that were and were not called, explain the following to me. How the Pats could start on the Packers 40 and not get close to scoring. Why did we give up the run so quickly? Finally, even after the Brady sack, what happened to having a pair and playing to win instead of having Goskowski kick? Nothing against him missing, but that seemed like we were playing to tie. You play to win the game.
Hold on. Steve,
wait, how would you tie?
Steve, you're missing something here. They kicked the field goal at the end to try to get within two to set it up so you could kick another field goal to win the game.
Right.
There was no playing for a tie involved.
Well, they could have had a safety.
Okay. In terms of...
And it was 4th and 18, as Paul looks for the statistics on the 40 yards.
Yeah, they did not score on that drive. I thought they had scored on that drive. That's why I looked it up. The kickoff that went out of bounds was following the second field goal, and the Patriots had an incomplete pass, a 5-yard pass, and then a short pass over the middle to Edelman for 4 yards that Tremont Williams made a terrific tackle a yard short of the first down, and the Patriots had a punt. So you are correct. They did not score on that drive that they started at the 40.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number, 855-PATS-500. When we come back, we're going to hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. I want to hear what he had to say about Packers head coach Mike McCarthy and how nice he was to McCarthy and how much he respects McCarthy and how great of a job the Packers and how great of a coaching job Mike McCarthy did. All of that is coming up next on the Xbox One Patriots post-game show. I want to remind you, gear up for the season and shop the Patriots Pro Shop for the widest selection of jerseys, hats, tees, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, and the Pro Shop Collection at Patriot Place are open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriot season ticket holder? Join the Patriot season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriot season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show is your source for immediate locker room reaction following every Patriots game. Hear exclusive live player interviews right from the New England locker room and all of the latest news and notes from the game. Join Mark, Paul, and Andy on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. The Sunday night game happening right now. Let's see how much time, but 6 minutes to go in the first quarter, and Denver with a 7-0 lead right now over KC. That one being played at Arrowhead tonight. 7-0 the lead for Denver in this game with 5:54 and counting to go in that first quarter. Some other games today. Buffalo got a win 26-10 over Cleveland. One of the storylines there. The starting quarterback for Cleveland is up in the air heading into next week. It could be Manziel, could be Brian Hoyer.
By the way, can I just chime in real quick?
Go ahead.
Did I see that Johnny Manziel scored? I'm sure you saw that.
Yeah, he got a touchdown.
And
right
it was at 23-3, and he scored to make it 23-10, and he turned and he did his little money sign to the crowd.
That's why he's an idiot.
Well, you got to give him credit, though, for the just the pure consistency. He is who he is. He's sticking with it forever. Speaking of going down with ships, he's going down with that ship.
Some other AFC games. Indianapolis with a 49-27 win over Washington today. The other AFC East game is going to be played tomorrow night. That's the other division score that we could give you. But it's Monday night, Miami at the Jets tomorrow. Back to some of those other AFC scores. Cincinnati with a 14-13 win over Tampa Bay. Cincinnati hanging on for dear life at the end of that game. San Diego winners today, 34-33 over Baltimore. That game came down to the wire as well. I'll tell you, the one thing that annoyed me, and I'm sure it annoyed many Patriots fans before this game, I get it. I understand you have to switch away from that game to show us the game we really are interested in seeing, which is the Pats game. Why do you have to switch away and then show us 2 minutes of commercials first? We could have seen the end of the game.
Because you got to get the commercials in.
Oh, that is just so ridiculous. Thanks, Paul. We could hear that on the air.
That's disgusting.
Hello? You play to win the game.
Play to win the game. Atlanta, we'll skip over to the NFC quickly. Atlanta with a 29-18 win over Arizona. Atlanta with a win. Paul doesn't think Arizona, I shouldn't say doesn't think. You think there's a shot they don't make the playoffs?
I think there's a chance that they won't make the playoffs.
They have some more losses
than them
down the stretch.
I think when you're dealing with quarterback issues, I think it's hard. I think it was a limited offense to begin with, and now you're asking a career backup to lead the way.
Also,
he's turning the ball over a ton of times. They still have Seattle and San Francisco to play. There's a chance they could lose five games.
St. Louis.
Fitzgerald didn't even play today. He's hurt.
Right.
It's not a long-term thing, though, right? He's going to be
no,
back.
He was questionable
not
today.
Sure, but that's a factor, too.
St. Louis put up 52 on Oakland, shut him out 52-0. Pittsburgh lost today 35-32 at home to New Orleans, and we know the struggles that the Saints have had so far this season, but if you were buying in on Pittsburgh, I hope you've sold them by now. I hope you're selling now on Pittsburgh based on what happened there in that game today. They lose again.
Well, everybody had sold them. The problem is they rebought them and those back-to-back six-touchdown blowout. Oh, everybody, oh, Steelers, they might be getting something going. Ben Roethlisberger, QB, and it's won Super Bowls, and now they're selling them again.
Yeah. So those are some scores from around the NFL today, some of the games in the AFC that relate to the AFC playoff picture. Patriots lose. Right now you've got Denver with an early lead, and that could change as well tonight as the first quarter rolls on in Kansas City. Back to this Patriots game. Back to the head coach of the Patriots, Bill Belichick. Here's what he said after the loss tonight.
I'd congratulate Coach McCarthy.
Really?
Aaron, Packers. I played a good football team game. That's a good football team. In the end, they made a few more plays than we did tonight. I thought both teams competed hard. Really proud of the way our guys hung in there, fought right to the end. We just couldn't quite make enough plays in the end to come out on top, and they did. So give them credit. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. Coach McCarthy does a good job of this football team. They're tough to beat. And we had our chances. We just couldn't quite get enough plays there at the end or throughout the game. So again, got to take my hat off to the Packers. They did a good job. It's a good football team.
Coach, defensively, did they do anything to kind of slow Tom down and see what he, or was he in trouble getting read? Did you see when he had trouble getting in kind of a rhythm?
Yeah, I thought we had our chances.
Were you encouraged by the red zone defense today?
I thought our team competed hard for 60 minutes. Everywhere. Just came up a little bit short.
Guys like Julian and Hightower fighting through some things.
Met a lot of tough guys out there. On both sides of the field. They did too. Yep. A lot of tough football players, a lot of good football players. It was a hard fought game.
Any injury up next, Coach?
No.
Is there any reason why they hit on so many bigger plays, like anywhere 20 to 25 yards?
They hit them because they executed them well.
Is this maybe one of the deepest offensive teams you've seen this year in terms of guys who can make big plays?
I've said all week they have very good skill players. They're a real good football team. They have good everything. There isn't any anybody on the offensive team that isn't good, starting with the coach, quarterback, all the skilled players at all the positions, running back, tight end, wide receiver, and a very good offensive line. Same thing I said all week. I don't see it any differently now. They're really good. They got a lot of good players, and they're very well coached. Try that again. That's what it is.
Talk about that coaching angle. Seems like Cobb was coming out of the backfield a lot. Is that a new wrinkle?
No, we expected that, really. But not, you know, just they're hard to defend. They're hard to defend. We thought they would put them back there, which they've done that before, to get them away from coverage. And, but they're hard to defend. They do a good job. They got a lot of weapons. They got a great quarterback. They got a great system. They're hard to defend.
How'd you think Nick Mitch handled the snapping responsibilities?
Thought Rod did a good job. Yeah. Put a lot of, you know, look, it's that time of year. Everybody's got to step up and do what they need to do. I thought Rob, as always, was there, did a good job for us.
Both teams missed kicks. Some of the kickoffs went short. Was it just a tough night for conditions for kicking?
It's Green Bay at the end of November. It's not like kicking in a dome. That's football. It's a great environment for football.
Bill, on the snapper, did you have an idea was that coming down the wire? Did you have an idea that would be Rob today? Or was that something that just came up right before the game? No, Danny was on the injury report. I didn't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Offensively, the idea of a run game, was there anything that they did that took that away from you, that you saw that maybe was unexpected in any way?
I think they play what they play. I mean, we had our moments, and we had some good runs, just like they did. They had some good runs. They had some runs that weren't very good. We had a couple runs that weren't very productive, and we had some good runs. Put it blunt, 6 yards of carry, I don't know. I wouldn't say that's taking it away, but we could have run the ball better. Again, they had some explosive runs, and so did we, and then there are a lot of other runs in there that I'd say neither team gained very much running the ball.
I guess I didn't mean necessarily taking it away. It just seemed like that wasn't a heavy focus for you guys in terms of running the ball.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that.
Now, how big was the Nelson touchdown at the end of the half? Was there any breakdown there, or was that just a very good player?
They have a lot of very good players making good plays. Thought we competed hard all night. They made some plays. We made some plays. They're good. They're really good. They're going to make plays on everybody. But we made, you know, we made a lot, not quite enough.
You got a big week coming up, and I know this game, you're just digesting it, but, you know, planning ahead. San Diego pulls one out today, puts it under a microscope one next Sunday night, but how big of a game and a test that you guys have coming up, and getting this one to get behind you and get working on San Diego.
Yeah, be really important. Yep, I'm going to turn the page and move on. Yeah, San Diego's always tough. They got a good football team, good quarterback. It's in November, December. You know, they're all tough at this time of year. That's what you play for. Play big games like this. And next week, and a week after that, they'll be big.
So it didn't take long for the Patriots to be on to San Diego. That's Patriots head coach Bill Belichick after losing tonight in Green Bay against the Packers. It's now on to the game next week, next Sunday in San Diego against the Chargers. The Patriots, again, will not return home to New England. They will just continue the road trip and practice on the West Coast this week. The phone number for you is 855-PATS-500. We want to get back to your calls, especially Malachi in Brockton. He's been waiting patiently. What's up, Malachi?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good. What's happening?
What's up?
I felt like it was a hard-fought game, but I felt like we left some points out there, just like I felt like they left some points out there, too. But, you know, that drop touchdown by Gronk, and then, you know, Brady, like you said, would have put it up there. You know, probably would give him a better chance of coming down with that. But you know, also, you know, I don't blame the defense as a whole. I blame the pass rush of the defense, particularly, especially on that last play when we had a chance, you know, to stop them and get the ball back. You know, somebody says, you know, it was good defense, but it was just, you know, better. Better offense. I wouldn't even call it better offense. You know, he had 25 seconds, it looked like to me, in the pocket. You know, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but of course somebody's going to fly open, you know, if you have that long. The coverage was great. But, you know, I just, you know, I was very disappointed in the pass rush, and I had said that a couple of weeks ago. I said, if you give Aaron Rodgers all day to throw, he's going to shred the defense apart. He's going to find wide open people. He's going to extend plays, and that's exactly what happened. But other than that, I feel like we played a hard-fought, competitive game. I feel like Brady could have played better. You know, I love the whole idea of us wanting to run the ball, but I don't think that that is the strength of our offense. The strength of our offense for the last couple of years has always been Tom Brady slinging the ball and distributing the ball to his receivers. You know, that first play, the very first play of the game was a play-action play to LaFell for first down, and we ran two plays, and we got stuffed, and we had to punt the ball. Why didn't we stick to what was working? I don't understand it, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know exactly what you could have done different. Offensively, I just don't think they had a very good day. I mean, Andy talked about, you know, what you blame more, offense or defense. And I think it's a chicken or the egg kind of thing. I think offensively, they weren't able to sustain drives. They weren't able to stay on the field. They didn't run the ball overly effectively against a bad run defense early in the game. Defensively, the other team did whatever it wanted. They moved the ball on the ground early and then through the air later. Fortunately, defensively, you came up with red zone stops, which allowed you to stay in the game. But the other team ended up having the ball. I think they were 10 for 17 on third down, looked up.
60% or just under 60.
And all of the stops on third down came in the red zone, so those are after sustained drives. The other team's got the ball 4, 5, 6 minutes. It really was very similar to that Denver game last year, only difference being that Denver forced a couple of field goals by the Patriots last year to make it 26-16 as opposed to 26-21. Mm-hmm. So the game was a little closer this time around, and the Packers were forced to get the ball at the end of the game, protecting a one-score lead and having to grind out for a first down to end the game. That's the only difference in the two games. I thought they were equally outplayed in this game as they were in Denver last year. Now, obviously, the stakes were far different.
But
far different.
The problem I have is it has a little bit of outsmarting to me. You know, we had the whole debate, Jonas Gray or LeGarrette Blount and carries and 30th-ranked run defense and all that. And what do they open? Shane Vereen and Brandon Bolden. When was the last time Brandon Bolden was a key part of the game plan in the backfield? And they stuck with that early on. It was Vereen. It was Bolden. What are you doing? I thought we had just talked about you've established in the course of the last month two power running backs who can be traditional backs who, when you see a defense that you want to run on, like you saw in Indy, you can run on them. Why did we get too cute and too smart?
I'm feeling you, dog.
8 rushes or whatever it was early? What's
they
going
only
on?
Had 17 for the game.
I don't care for it. I know you like when I say that. I don't care for against a bad run defense.
I like when
you say, I'm going to be smarter than you.
When you say, I don't think I cared for it, that's better. I don't think I cared for it.
Okay, so this one doesn't count because I know I didn't care for it.
I also think you're letting the lack of success running the ball early, you're sort of letting that off the hook. I think, you know, much like in Denver last year, if LeGarrette Blount didn't have 40 carries for 4 yards, they may have run it a little bit more. I understand what you're saying about the Bolden thing, but those were two of the more successful runs they had.
I don't want
early in the game
to go Bolden, right? Vereen. I want to go Gray and Blount, my real backs.
I get it. I
not
agree
my
with
special
you.
Teams funny backs.
I agree with you, and I'm not trying to like spark up the show.
You
and
are
get,
a little
get something
bit
going, but
don't I, poke the bear.
I don't want to see Bolden getting carries over Blount either. But I can't deny the fact that the first two carries he had were positive carries, one of which resulted in a really nice touchdown run.
That's because the Packers said, "Who the bleep is this guy?"
Well, I don't care. It worked. I don't like
why,
it.
Where, who are we going to trick you? We're going to trick you. Instead of just lining up, we're going to trick you.
That I would go to the play on, I want to say the, I don't know if it was the first series or the second series. It was one of those first two series. It was, I think it was the first one. They had a pass to LaFell for a first down, and then like a 6 or 7 yard run, and then like a 1 yard run. And here it's 3rd and 1 or 2. Let's run to the line. Let's get ready all quick. We'll get him off guard. We'll catch him off guard, Beetle. Here we go. Really fast. The only thing is we weren't ready yet. We got called for an illegal shift, and Blount got tackled in the backfield.
Oh, yeah. My hurry up and fail.
For the hurry up and fail failure for at least the, I don't know, I would say conservatively the 10th time this season that the hurry up and beat him at the line scrimmage and let's run the ball hasn't worked. That, I think, is more criticizable than personnel decisions.
Ryan's in Orlando. Hey, Ryan.
Yeah.
What's up? What do you got?
What's up? So, yeah, just a couple points. I mean, tough loss. Rodgers is nasty, though. I mean, that dude, he is as good as I thought he was going to be, regardless of, you know, whatever kind of defensive packages we were running. I am going to say I am disappointed Jonas Gray didn't get the ball. I know you guys were actually touching on a couple of the points I was going to bring up. That dude is just a beast. I don't know why we couldn't pound it in there. Blount had some really great runs. Defensively, I really wish we had Chandler Jones for this game. Rodgers had just all day to just slice us up. And I was pretty okay with those huge, you know, him gashing us out for a little bit, but, you know, and us being strong in the red zone. But yeah, didn't look too good. Also Logan Ryan, I don't know. I feel like we've had so much success with, like, Malcolm Butler. And, I mean, even having Dennard active, I would have loved to have seen Dennard on Devontae Adams to start off the game. So, yeah.
I would rather see that matchup, too. I don't know what the deal is with Dennard. I don't know what got him on the bench. Certainly, I don't see where he has played worse than Logan Ryan. I think Logan Ryan has struggled in virtually every game this year. Dennard hasn't been part of the equation now for over a month, right, Andy?
Yeah.
So today, I think it was almost unfair. I think Andy brought this up early in the show. It's almost unfair to ask him to go out there and sort of slow down a hot receiver at the time in Devontae Adams, and he didn't do a good job of it either, although I thought he got pushed off on one of those plays.
Oh, absolutely. I originally thought he just got just blown by. And then when, you know, showing the replay, just shoved, you know, all the calls that were missed, you know, that could have been in our favor. You know, it'll irk you as a Pats fan, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, and I would say if this is your worst game from Kansas City, this wasn't Kansas City. I mean, we can all agree upon that. This was not the bitch slapping you took at Arrowhead Stadium. If this is your worst game over the final 12 games of the season, then you have a very good football team. I think we know you have a very good football team. I think you went into this game with a Super Bowl contender. You left this game with a Super Bowl contender. You left this game with some things that you say, okay, our weaknesses. The run defense to me is still a question mark. You know, whether you can stop a team that's looking to run it, I don't know that that will be an issue for you until you get to a potential Super Bowl. You know, if we go into a Super Bowl and say, you know, can you stop Marshawn Lynch? Well, I might look back at this game and say, hey, you remember when Eddie Lacy had those runs? Whatever. But that's in a Super Bowl. And maybe I'll look at it and say, okay, yeah, your offense, the pass rush was an issue. But again, I don't know if it's an issue enough for me to suddenly try to rethink and say what this team is at this point in the season. I think this team is a Super Bowl contender. I think it will be a Super Bowl contender through the end of January.
I'm with you.
Speaking of months from now and many games from now, we touched on this in the pregame, which was Chandler Jones. He was questionable. We think he's on his way back.
Could have used him tonight.
This was a game
a lot of people were saying that on Twitter, and absolutely. You know, but you had that amount of time. Yeah. he's your best pass rusher.
The pass rush is getting a lot of attention. A lot of people are bringing up, you know, the team hasn't had a good pass rush in X amount of years. We had an email, numerous emails. We've been flooded with emails about how the pass rush was really bad and was non-existent in the game. This is a game where if you had Chandler Jones, you'd be in a much better position defensively than what you were tonight and what we saw on the field. We're going to hear from Tom Brady coming up in just a couple of minutes, but before we do that, let's hear from Matt in Vancouver. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good.
I know the tensions aren't, or the mood in Patriots Nation isn't the best, but, I mean, I'm not pleased with the result, but I think there's a lot of positives we can take from this game. And, I mean, we're playing the second-best team, and the fact that we kept it close with all the mistakes we made, I think that's a good sign. And also the fact that it does bring us back sort of an earthly level, because, you know, after the Kansas City game, we started blowing teams out and everybody was saying all these things, and that kind of gets us riled up and sort of makes our expectations higher. So I think it's a good learning experience, especially the fact that it happened with, you know, four games left in the season instead of either in the playoff. I'd rather have sort of this realization for the team that, hey, now we can improve on this, what the second best team exposed us to, rather than, you know, after a playoff loss, being like, oh, well, next season will be better. So, I mean, I want to get your guys' thoughts on maybe some of the positives of the game.
I think that the positives that you're talking about, something that one of the callers brought up, I do agree that you sort of took another team's shot and didn't have your fastball today and found a way to stay in the game. And that's a very good team that you played on the road, playing at a high level. I don't think it was Green Bay's best game, because of the red zone. You know, Green Bay is not going 0-for-4 in the red zone very often. They went 0-for-4 in the red zone today, and that allowed you to stay in the game. But the positives that I would take are, you know that even when you don't play great, you have enough talent now, talent, to hang around the game against anybody. And that's an enormous problem. I mean, obviously, you lost a regular season game and not a playoff game. This is when you'd rather lose the game.
And, you know, I kind of felt it's similar to the way I felt after the Colts game, which is, I don't think the Patriots played their best game there, and they still won, and they won in a pretty convincing fashion in a game where I thought they could have played better. Tonight is a game where you can say they absolutely could have played better, and the end result was you on the road in a tough environment, tough team, one of the best in the NFL, and you lose by 5 points. And so that's why I think we talked about this going in, this potential scenario for them losing this game. I don't think they lost much in terms of what they are as a contender.
No,
they're the same team.
The only flip side to that is, as we've said earlier, I think the Packers are probably telling themselves they were a couple plays from turning this into a blowout at home and really taking care of business at home.
The Packers are saying, we just beat the best team in football without playing our best game. The Packers are feeling in a similar fashion
to what the Patriots were after the Colts game.
I would feel much differently about this game if the exact same game took place here. The Packers snuck in and stole this game. I think the Packers would be saying, wow, we went in there and almost blew them out on their home turf. Because it's at home, I think that swings things a little the Packers way. So what this did want me to see is I would not mind seeing this game again in February.
No.
I would, you know, and then we can go back and really break this one down and who did what and how it's going to play out. But, you know, I said this to you as a Super Bowl preview, Super Bowl whatever. I felt like you saw a pretty good football game.
Before we get to Tom Brady, I just want to give you an update. It's a 14-0 lead for Denver. They are moving the football, and at this point they are toying with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs, by the way, offensively,
shoot,
minus 10 yards in the first quarter.
The Broncos' defense has been incredible in this game.
Minus 10 yards in the first quarter, and then the Broncos had a penalty on a punt, and on the
re-kick
faked it and got a first down.
You guys didn't let me change my pick, right?
We did not let you change your pick.
Yeah! Way to go, guys. Way to have some morals.
It's all right. We're all going to lose all the games anyway.
All right, let's
hear. We lost the Patriots. We lost. Wasn't there another one we lost? Oh, Arizona.
Yeah. Arizona.
So we're 0-2.
Let's hear for Patriots.
Unbelievable. So much for getting to impressive records at some point.
Patriots quarterback, Tom Brady.
Who wants to start?
Clearly, you were not a happy camper. Understandably.
Yep. You know, we had our chances. So, you know, I wish we'd have done something there at offense in the end. And, you know, 21 points ain't going to be enough against a good team like that. So, got to figure out how to, you know, score more points.
from an offensive standpoint, you know, I think most people are focused on how well they did converting third downs and moving the ball. But from your standpoint, what do you think you need to do offensively?
I think it's just more consistent, you know, across the board. You know, we fought hard. We hung in there. You know, just, you know, couldn't make enough plays. So, you know, they made a lot of plays. And, you know, they made some pretty important ones. You know, we'd make enough important ones. So, you know, we certainly had our chances. And certainly there at the end, you know, first down on, I don't know what yard line, we're in the 20 or something like that. You know, I wish we could have done better than that.
What happened on the sack? Was that a coverage sack or a
I have to see it. You know, things always happen pretty quick out there. So it was on coverage, and I was trying to, you know, find somebody, and you know, just, you know, they got a hold of me. So, you know, would hate to take a sack in that situation. Would like to score. That's what I really would like to do.
Can you put into words how much you care? Because obviously, you're 37 years old.
I like to win. I think I like to you know, I like to win, and I like to go out there and compete. And this is just, couldn't ask for anything more than this for this opportunity today. You know, yeah, just you have your whole, you know, life for moments like this, and you know, it just came up short.
Did it take away the long ball a lot for you, or were you looking for it underneath quite a bit?
Yeah, we had a, you know, we had quite a few of those underneath. You know, we had a couple. Actually, we didn't have many shots down there, but you know, they do a pretty good job of that. You know, we had plenty of opportunity to move the ball, and you know, it just takes a lot of consistent effort by everybody to make that happen. And you know, when you score 21 points against a good team, you gotta, you know, you gotta dig deep, figure out what you need to do better, and you know, we got another tough game coming up.
It's just such a fine line to play here, play there, 6 inches here, 6 inches there. If you don't get it, you may not get another chance.
Yeah, they got a good team, and they play well at home. I think they've, you know, they beat a lot of teams this year, you know, by, I don't know, 50 points to, you know, whatever it was. And you know, I thought our defense really hung in there, played good, especially in the red area, held them to, you know, 4 field goals. And you know, we just didn't do enough offensively to really help them out. And I thought we, you know, really could have done a better job there at the end. And I wish we'd have scored. No, it was everything you want, you know, Gronk on a you know, on a good matchup. So I didn't see the how it ended up. I just knew it was incomplete. So, you know, it's game inches, and I happened to fall on their side this time. So I wish we had scored and put a little pressure on them. It'd been nice to take the lead at that point, but we didn't, and now we got to figure out how to do a better job.
Do you take losses harder at 37 than you did at, say, 27? There's almost 8
points. Yeah, I just wish we had won this one. I think we put a lot into this one. You know, this was a great, just a great test for us. I think the guys, you know, knew how important it was for our season. And, you know, you hate to have had the ball there with, you know, on the 20-yard line with, you know, under 3 minutes with a chance to go ahead and not do it. So I think, you know, it sucked.
Was there any doubt at the end? It just felt like, you know, you guys were going to do it. It seemed like the old Colts-type games where you didn't want to get them the ball last, but yeah, moving in, draining that clock.
Yeah.
It seemed like everything was set up for
you. It was, you know, we had our, we were, you know, first and 10 on a, you know, 20-yard line, so.
Long ways to Kansas City, man. I wouldn't even.
Couldn't ask you that, Cap. Kansas City, you know, you guys have a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Fixed a bunch of that at this point.
Yeah, I think we're playing a little bit better. You know, we got our whole season ahead of us, so. You know, we're in a decent position. I think we got to, you know, really turn it up. And, you know, you just realize every possession, every play is an opportunity. And if you don't take advantage of it, you never know which play it's going to be that, you know, in close games like this that lead to losses. And, you know, we got to win games. We got to win tough games. We got to, you know, we got to find ways to make the important plays when we got them. And, you know, this team's always found a way to do that. We just didn't do it today.
You put so much into this. And now you've got to spend a whole week's before sweeping San Diego.
Yeah.
Came back to beat the Ravens tonight.
Yeah.
It's all concern. Guys like yourself who have the experience point out that we can't let this world house turn into two.
Absolutely.
Easily could do.
Yeah. And, you know, you just gotta figure out, you know, how the matchups go this week and try to do a better job than what we did today. And, you know, they got a good team. They've always had a good team. And playing out there is always a challenge. So that's just the way the schedule is. It's, you know, we had a lot of home games there for a, you know, certain period of time. And then now we got another tough road game. And, you know, we're going to have to play better than we did today. You know, losing in general is, you know, we don't. You know, we come here for one reason, and you come here to win, and you put everything in you can into it for, you know, to get the victory. And I thought, you know, we had a great chance, and we let it get away. And hopefully if we're presented with that, you know, sometime in the next 4 weeks, then we, you know, we take advantage of it. And we're going to need to because, you know, we got tough four games ahead. And certainly, you know, the biggest game of our year ends up being this week. And you know, I wish we could have won today. You know, I thought they played, you know, they got obviously a very good team. And we just came up short. Thank you.
Tom Brady in this game, 22 of 35, 245 yards passing, two touchdowns, no picks, a quarterback rating of 102.7 in a 26-21 loss to the Packers in Green Bay tonight. I want to remind you that the Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. NFL coaches and players across the league use their Surface tablets to influence the next big play call. And with a Surface tablet at home, you can do the same in your fantasy league. Surface, trusted by the NFL, built for the fans, do more. We want to get back to your calls here in the final moments of the program, including this one from Bob in Virginia. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Bob.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can. Go ahead.
Hey, they had an angle on NFL, the NFL network. They had a different angle of Belichick and at the end of the game, and Belichick did the throat slash signal to him.
Come on.
And then he did the Robert De Niro, I'm watching you, two fingers.
That was great
well
delivery.
Done. Well done.
Absolutely impeccable delivery right there.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, I wouldn't just hang up after that, though. Did you just hang up?
Especially when the host is nowhere near the console to shut the line off.
And now the host is just aimlessly talking while not being on
his microphone. Mic wasn't on. He wasn't near his mic. He's babbling in the background.
And Chris in California is next up. Hi, Chris.
That was excellent right there.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
Not that good because New England lost.
Yeah, but it wasn't ugly. They put up a good fight, right? They're all,
Oh, yeah.
We did hit 17 balls.
I would say...
You're right, but
the tone of Belichick, Brady, and all the players is that they are comfortable with the effort and the fight they put up today and not the result.
Yeah, you're right. I got a question. What do you think about Logan Ryan? I mean, he disappointed me. I mean, he got burned by a rookie.
Yeah, I thought he really struggled. Now, to be fair, I have been critical of Logan Ryan quite a bit over the last year and a half when a lot of people have sort of fallen in love with him, including apparently the coaching staff, because he's ascended to that number three cornerback role this year. But I thought that was a problem today, not only for him, but then even when Dennard came in, I thought Dennard wasn't much better. And, you know, it's great that you have two, you know, high-end corners that are playing well, but you might need a third corner to step up and play well and not be a target. And I thought today the third corners were targets.
Yeah. I mean, Dennard, what do you think about that flag? I mean, that was, Adam pushed them. And I thought that should have been a, you know, pass interference on the offense.
You're right. It should have been. It was, they blew the call. They just flat out blew the call. That was, I think everyone would agree. I think even Packers fans would probably agree they got away with one there. But, you know, there were some questionable flags tonight. You know, some flags that were so questionable that they decided not to even call them after they threw them. It wasn't a great night for the officials.
Yeah. We'll see what happens in San Diego.
Yes, we will.
On to the Chargers, baby.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Which, by the way, the Chargers were a tough matchup. Then they weren't a tough matchup. Are they a tough matchup again, Paul Perillo?
Well, they have won three straight. They have beaten Oakland, St. Louis, and today they beat Baltimore. But those three wins came after three losses to better teams in Kansas City, Denver, and Miami. So what is the matchup against San Diego?
Their win today is pretty impressive, although I think, you know, speaking of bad calls, I think it was greatly aided by a horrific pass interference penalty in the end zone to allow them to win the game.
That happens in this league.
I think this is a difficult game because of the spot. I think when in Beetle, right off the top of the show on the pregame social, you and I talked about this, Green Bay is the better team. That was the measuring stick. Perhaps there are no measuring sticks left. However, that doesn't mean I think it'd be a walkover in San Diego.
Doesn't mean you can't get a good road win.
I think you go across the country, and now you're going to be out there all week practicing, which is out of your element, a little bit different, not something they normally do, and you're going to be asked to
play on grass,
play against a team that is difficult on Sunday night, playing for its playoff life. So I think this is a difficult spot. I think San Diego is a good team. I don't think it's a great team, but you look up and you look at the record. I think they're 8-4, right? San Diego 8-4. I mean, that's a good record. In
four losses.
Yeah.
So, Arizona, Kansas City, Denver, and Miami are their four losses.
Yeah, and they have wins against Baltimore and Seattle. You know, so there's some good wins on there too.
Seattle, they went to Buffalo and beat Buffalo. So Seattle, Buffalo, Jacksonville, the Jets, the Raiders twice actually, St. Louis and Baltimore. Those are the wins for San Diego so far.
Whether they're a good team or not, though, I mean, I know it's a tough spot and you're a weird week and all of that. You certainly don't want to allow this to turn into a losing streak, though. You don't want to lose back-to-back games, you know, a 7-game winning streak, then a 2-game losing streak as you head into December. Now, I don't expect that to happen. I think the Patriots are the far better football team. I think they are significantly better, and maybe people will be a little down on the Patriots this week because of the loss, but I'm still expecting a pretty impressive victory in San Diego.
And if we're taking history into account to Andy, throw this in terms of how it could be a good road win, this hasn't been the easiest place to play for Belichick and Brady and and the Patriots in their tenure. It hasn't. They've gotten some big wins there, but it hasn't always been easy for this team playing in San Diego. And for this defense, it will be a matchup with against a quarterback who a lot of people regard as a really good quarterback.
You don't think anybody's any good.
I don't. Well,
Andrew Luck stinks. Philip Rivers stinks.
Hold on. Paul, you know I've always had a thing against San Diego. I think San Diego has been overrated for a very long time.
Oh, you can have a thing against San Diego.
I do,
I think that's fine, but Philip Rivers is a pretty good quarterback.
He is, but
I mean, is he Brady? No. He's at a level below those guys.
And he's also prone at times to head-scratching plays.
That's the thing.
No question.
The Romo plays. The Romo-type plays. He
more so even than Luck. Luck throws picks. Rivers throws, what the hell was that kind of plays?
So we'll talk more about that coming up next week. We will, of course, be here pregame. We've got a 8:30 kickoff next week, which means 6 p.m.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just like this week, 2 to 4. We'll do 6 to 8 next week. 6 to 8 next week, pregame, and then we'll be back postgame as well.
Prime time.
Eric won't be happy.
We are awesome at night. You know that. At the end of a full day of football, you get us pregame, you get a primetime game, then you get that real late night Xbox One with a little, tipsy. The tipsy callers start chiming in. Big night next week.
We're going to hit the liquor store before we do that.
So right now, this looks like a loss. But
liquor store?
I won't be here, though.
You're not going to be here.
Be at the Cup.
That show just got even better.
We're hitting a home run. It's a grand slam next week. Thanks to our producer, Kevin Collins, for Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. I'm Mark Bertram. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Out of the I formation with Devlin in the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the five. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Next Sunday, the Patriots are in San Diego to take on Philip Rivers and the Chargers on Sunday Night Football. Kickoff is set for 8:30 p.m. Be sure to log on to Patriots.com to tune in to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand immediately following the game.
Brady with a check with me on a 3rd and 4 from the 10. Brady in the pocket, has time to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Edelman has it!
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.